Well, I'll follow the same pattern this evening, and we're going to do just another look at prayer, another aspect of prayer. And tonight, what I wanted to talk about was prayer in the body, praying together. And you know that the scriptures speak about prayer, and often the verse that's used is a verse where the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, it says, "When you pray, go into your room. When you have shut your door, pray to your Father in secret place, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly." Now, this passage of Scripture has often been used to say, you know, I've actually heard people say to me that praying in public is not right. We should, because Jesus said, when you pray, pray in your closet. But the context in which Jesus was speaking, he was speaking about the Pharisees who loved to go out and the public places and pray out loud so everyone would hear them. And it was not for the purposes of communion with God. It was for the purposes of displaying themselves before men. And this was said by the Lord to rebuke that kind of conduct. This is not to say we shouldn't have closet prayer, but it is certainly not saying we shouldn't have public prayer. If that was the case, then when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, we discover as they were waiting for the day of Pentecost, they were all with one accord in one place. They were praying together publicly. And then in Acts chapter 4, we find the disciples having encountered the persecution on the church. In Acts 4:24, it says, "So when they heard this, they raised their voice to God with one accord, and then they prayed. And they got what they asked for. They asked for boldness to preach the word of God, boldness, speak the word, and stretching out their hand, signs and wonders would be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." So there are promises in Scripture concerning prayer and concerning agreeing together. If two of you shall ask anything, where is it here, in my name, it shall be. Again, I say to you, Matthew 18:19, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father, which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so we can see that the scriptures speak about coming together to pray and agreeing together. And I would say in my own experience that this has been one of the breakthroughs in my Christian walk, has been finding someone to pray with and spending quality time together praying and looking for the opportunities to pray with other people. They say that the prayer meeting is the most important meeting in the church, and yet it's the most least attended. And sometimes that's our fault. Sometimes what we have done with the prayer meeting makes it to be the least attractive meeting, because maybe we haven't been meeting with God in the way that we could. And so there's room for improvement in the prayer meeting, as well as there's room for, of course, the call to prayer and the commitment to prayer. And even if it isn't the way we think it should be, we are still called to pray. We are still called to meet with one another and meet with God. When you go through the New Testament, you find that God is not interested in lone rangers. God is interested in body life, in community, in believers coming together. All through the New Testament, this is the mark that God has given to us. It's the teaching of the New Testament, the body of Christ, and we are all members in particular. And the ministry that we have to one another, and one can't say, "I don't have need of you, I have need." We have need of each other. We have need of the weakest in the church as well as the strongest in the church. We all need each other. And that surely must be reflecting itself in prayer. It would reflect itself in the exposition of the Word of God. Because I do not contain all the truth that can be learned from God's word in a local church. The others, everyone has nuggets to bring on the table that they have gleaned from the word of the Lord. It will be the same in terms of coming together in the breaking of bread and reflecting on the death of Jesus Christ and what it means to one another. We need the participation of the body in this. Often churches have become one-man shows, and that regrettably happens from two perspectives. Sometimes pastors, they're trained in this way, and sometimes churches, they encourage that because they don't want to be involved so much. And it's a terrible burden on pastors. You can just ask pastors and they'll tell you that. Most of them will anyway. They were not meant to be a one-man person. They were meant to be a body ministering together. Purpose of the pastor is to equip the church, to build up the church so that we can be ministering to one another and ministering to a dying world that needs Jesus Christ. So the privilege of coming together to pray is something that I have come to appreciate more and more. And to come together to meet God. I don't know about you, but the prayer meetings we've had this week, each one of them, God has touched me. And I've had God speak into my life in a fresh way. And a scripture has come to life for me. The need of a community or the need of a person, God has blessed my soul in it. And it wouldn't have happened if I was not in prayer. And I can acknowledge to you my weakness in commitment to prayer. Maybe many of you are very diligent at your own quiet times with God, and you don't have any distractions from that, and you find yourself being consistently spending quality time with Jesus on a regular basis. I find that happens more in my own quiet time if I'm spending quality time with others in prayer. It boosts me. It encourages me, it draws me, so that I might discover that, hey, this Jesus is so wonderful, I want to spend some more time with him by myself. And so praying together can produce all of these things. And I think it's vital, I think it's important for us to consider that and think about it and realize the privilege that God has given to us. Even when Peter was put in prison, it says, much prayer went up, and they went to a home, and they were there praying, weren't they? When Peter came looking for them, and Rhoda answered the door, she was like, it's not you, it's not you. I mean, here they had been praying for Peter, and when he finally came, they couldn't believe there was she couldn't believe there was an answer to prayer. But of course, it was Peter. And we know that Jesus, at times, he did not pray alone. Sometimes he went into mountains to pray alone, but other times didn't he take Peter, James, and John into a mountain to do what? To pray. And we discover when Jesus was in his darkest hour, he took along three of his disciples. Mind you, they fell asleep, and sometimes we fall asleep in prayer meetings. And I can sit with my hand and say, I've fallen asleep in a prayer meeting. But there's no better place to fall asleep. Huh? If I'm going to fall asleep, I might as well fall asleep in a prayer meeting as anywhere else. Sometimes we'd have three or four of us praying in a room, and all of a sudden one fellow, you know, because we'll pray standing up, we might be praying for 3 or 4 hours. You might walk around and pray. You might get on your knees, get on your face and pray. You might lay down and pray. And once in a while you hear somebody snoring over there. We just let them snore. And then whenever, you know, maybe they wake up halfway through prayer and then they'll start praying again. We say, well, that's fine. I mean, was it Eutychus that fell asleep?
Yeah, that's right.
In an upper room when the disciples were gathered together? I can't think of a better place to fall asleep than there. So I don't feel overly bad, even if I do. Sometimes I come to a prayer meeting exhausted. So if I fall asleep tonight, let me sleep. I'll wake up by and by. The Lord will wake me up. And maybe I'll dream a dream and it'll be a blessing in that. I don't know. But to be together in the Lord. And you know, it's humbling to pray together. It brings us together in one, and it brings us in a place where we recognize our need of God and our need of relationship with God, but we also recognize our need of relationship with each other. God has made us to be a community and a body, and so it is good for us to spend much time together in prayer. I think it's wonderful. And I would encourage all of us to cultivate community prayer. I have met so many Christians over the years that are terrified to pray in a meeting. And the reason why is because they think they're not as good a prayer as the pastor. Oh, he can pray really well. The prayers that I probably have been most blessed with in my life have been the simple prayers of saints with stammering lips who speak to God from the heart, and they haven't learned some of the cultivated words that we tend to use at times, which really God's not impressed with anyway. And so there's such blessing in praying, simply bringing our request to God, simply worshiping Him, simply falling in love with Him, coming together as the people of God. Much of that, I believe, has been lost, at least in my experience in the North American church, where people do not come together and pour out their hearts in prayer and praise and worship to the Lord. But it is a privilege to do so. One of the men who he lived in Quebec, and he came to us and lived with us for a few years, and he got used to us with our praying in any place. If we meet anywhere, we will pray. And anyway, he was back in Quebec visiting, and he met a Christian in Walmart. And so they talked for a bit, and then he said, "Well, why don't we pray?" And he heard the guy say, "Well, here," but he said he started to pray. When he looked up, the guy was gone. So the next time he saw him, he said, "Where did you go?" He said, "I'm not going to pray in the middle of Walmart." But this privilege of praying is something that, you know, the Bible says pray without ceasing. Look for an opportunity to pray with people. If I talk to a Christian on the phone, I want to pray with them. It's an opportunity to come together before the throne of God. I think it's the deepest fellowship that I can have with you, is to pray with you. It's where we're exposed. It's where we're coming to the King of Glory together. I picture myself tonight, us holding hands together, coming into the throne of grace together, and the ground is level there. There's no difference between any one of us. We're coming together, encouraging, bringing each other into the presence of God. And how important that is, and how we need that. And so I believe it's a humbling, but it's a rewarding experience, and it draws us together in a way I don't believe that any other function in the Christian church can do that. And I'm talking about prayer that's from the heart, and prayer that brings us into that kind of community and communion. And not, like I said, just one of us praying, but all of us praying together. I've discovered as well that praying with others can often bring solutions to problems that can't be found anywhere else. There are times when I've sat with people and you know, I think I'm going to bring them some counsel, and I finally hit a wall where I realize what I need to do is to bring this person into the presence of God. I need to introduce them to Jesus. They might be believers who are struggling with something. I say, let's go to God with this together. Let's pour out our souls to the Lord. And often there is more counsel that happens there as I meet with God, and they're brought and ushered into the presence of the Lord. For if we are discovering that God is willing to meet us in prayer in powerful ways, then when others will come, we bring others into the presence of God with us. And there are times when others have brought us into the presence of God. There are times when I went to pray where I didn't feel like praying, where there were times when I thought, I'd sooner be somewhere else. I'd sooner be out in the field making fence, and I don't like making fence especially. But there are times when I sooner do that than pray. But invariably when I've gone to pray with someone and to pray with others, God has lifted me. And at times He has just spoken into my life, just a word, someone else praying, and just what I needed to know, just what I needed to experience from God, it happened in that prayer meeting. Where it would never have happened on my own because I didn't want to pray. So sometimes the very commitment of praying with someone else can bring us into blessing. So there's a few things that I wanted to give you tonight in terms of prayer. I mentioned on the phone, sometimes you're calling Christian organizations about one thing or the other, or they're calling you. It might be, I think it was a Focus on the Family ministry had called me about something. And after we spoke for a bit, I said to the lady, I said, "Well, why don't we pray?" She said, "Excuse me?" I said, "Why don't we pray?" "Well," she said, "I've never prayed on the phone in my life." Well, I said, "Well, this is a good opportunity." I said, don't you speak to pastors all the time? All the time. She said, most of my calling is calling pastors, but no pastor has ever offered to pray with me. What have we done? Where have we gone? What focus have we lost? What ministry has been missed? Because we don't pray with people. Even the pastors. We don't. And so let me encourage you. If you're on the phone with another Christian, pray with them. It's not that foreign. I think that that's what the telephone was made for. I believe God permitted the invention of the telephone so that Christians can communicate with one another before the throne of grace together. That's its purpose. All the other stuff is only secondary.
It's a local call.
Huh?
It's a local call.
Yeah, that's right. When is a local call, you said?
No, it's always a local call.
Oh, it's always a local call to God. That's true. That's true. But what a privilege to pray together. That woman wept after we spoke on the phone. And she said, you don't know how much this means to me. And I said, well, it's meant a lot to me too, to pray with you. And so I always look for those kinds of opportunities to pray with people. If it's on the street, if it's in the subway, wherever it is, stop and pray. Stop and pray with someone. You know, we make it the habit of praying at our meals. But I wonder, you know, what that all really means when we don't take these other opportunities to pray with one another and to look for those opportunities. So can I encourage you that this is what God, I believe, is calling us to pray and pray together, agreeing together, having the experience of some of these promises. That's an incredible promise, isn't it? If we agree together in my name, then it shall be done for them. Let's move into this realm of prayer. It's, the Bible speaks even in this area, if anybody's sick, let him call for the elders of the church. And there it speaks about them praying for them, anointing with oil and praying for them. And that's it tells us that there's this sense of community involved. There's not even saying call for the pastor. It says call for the elders of the church, communal prayer. And I've seen times of prayer where we pray for the sick. And when we do, we talk about their spiritual life and we ask, is there anything you need prayer for? And we go through, you know, it's a careful thing to do such a thing, anoint them with oil and pray for them in the name of the Lord. But I've seen great blessings come, spiritual blessings in their lives. At times, physical healing that was miraculous, that couldn't be explained in any other way. And at times, God did not heal them, but we knew the presence of God was at work in our lives and in theirs. Oh, it's good to pray. Good to pray together. And so that's what I want to encourage you to. I want to encourage you to communal prayer, to look for opportunities to pray together, to cultivate it, and to find people to pray with on a regular basis. And you will know, I assure you, that you will not be disappointed. You're praying, if you're praying with others or if you're praying by yourself. Do you think there would be any difference, or should there be any difference?
No, there shouldn't be.
Okay.
That's what it is.
How do you mean?
You don't feel free to express yourself. You're afraid, you're nervous. My nerves are bad, for example.
Yeah.
And you're afraid you'll make a mistake or...
Okay.
You think about how they're going to affect other people.
Okay.
You're all tied up and you shouldn't be.
Okay. All right.
You should be free of liberty.
Okay. Yeah. Anybody else? Any other thoughts on that?
Well, yes, as Brother Scott said, it shouldn't be, but it is.
Okay.
Because there are more intimate things that when you were by yourself, I guess.
Right.
That you wouldn't go on a prayer in a crowd or with others.
Okay, well, there are some things sometimes that you wouldn't pray in a crowd, and there are sometimes things that you might. But sometimes fear of man can keep us from enjoying being in public prayer meeting or praying out, that's for sure.
I think that... I was affected that way once, convicted about praying to please men.
Mm-hmm.
When we express ourselves in public, we may pray to please men, but we shouldn't. We should be praying to please God.
That's true. We can end up doing what the Pharisees did, can't we?
That's right.
In public prayer. But don't let that deter you from praying in public, because God has given us this privilege of praying together. But I think sometimes there is a sensitivity that we need when we're in public prayer meetings. For example, supposing I had a list of people that I knew from, you know, and that nobody else in that prayer meeting knows who they are. And I go on for maybe an hour with a list of people that I know of. And they don't even know who they are. They don't know anything about them. You might just lose some of the people that are with you in a prayer meeting like that. So there are times when we need to be sensitive to the people that are around us so that we're carrying each other before together. And I know there are prayer meetings where more than one person has gone to sleep because one person goes on and on and on, and I'm not saying it in a, you know, in a negative way. I mean, they may be having a wonderful communion with God, but they're forgetting that they're with others. So there's, in one sense, we shouldn't be thinking about others if it's for, we're concerned about self. But in another sense, in a collective prayer meeting, we ought to have some sense of the moving of the Spirit of God among us, so that if one person is praying and God begins, seems to be moving them in a direction in prayer, then we should be entering in together so that then the prayer meeting begins to flow because we are sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in the group in prayer. And that's something to grow in and to become aware of. And that way it's not so disconnected. And sometimes it can be very disconnected that way. So there's a sense where we shouldn't be thinking about others if we're concerned about self-preservation or what other people think. But then there's another sense where we should be sensitive to others in a group prayer meeting so that we are... And I've sensed that this week, that as we have prayed together, there's been a common thread. We have come together and one prayer builds on the other as we come in the presence of God. And that the Lord leads us to a scripture. Somebody's led to a scripture. And then prayer comes out of that. And so there's this sense of community and a sense of unity in prayer that's a good thing. So I'm saying we shouldn't be sensitive to others with the fear of man, but we need to be sensitive to one another in a public prayer meeting that we're coming to the throne of grace together, a consciousness that we're together in this. And that unity growing in that way. So
we need to be careful that in our prayer, in intercessory prayer, that we don't break the confidence of those who have shared something.
Absolutely. With us. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Did you hear what he said?
Yeah, the confidence.
Yes, breaking confidence.
Can you give me an example of what you mean?
If somebody, you know, close to you and or confides in you a particular matter that they're struggling with, and you know, and they have shared it with you in confidence, it's not right to pray about that
in a public setting.
In private, yeah. By all means, but yeah. In public. We need to be careful in those areas.
That's true.
Very much so.
We don't need to hang dirty washing on the line.
No. No, we can end up being guilty of gossip.
Yeah, that's right. Gossip. Yeah.
Holy gossip. So, there is this, and it's something that I wanted to encourage, and you know, we've been experiencing that this week, and encourage it in your life, and I encourage it in my own, is coming together to pray, being sensitive to one another, and praying together, a sense that we are here together before the throne of God. Not in the way that we're afraid, of, so that we are wondering what they're going to think of our prayers, but in a way where we are in agreement. Because the Bible says they came together, they were all in one accord and one agreement. And there's great power in that. Isn't that what Jesus said? If two or three of you agree as touching anything, and I really don't believe that that just means, well, you agree with me, right? Yes, I agree with you, so let's go and pray about it. It's a deeper agreement than that. It's a spiritual unity. It's an agreement in spirit as well as an agreement in the issue, so that there's a unity that's deeper than the world's unity. Surely it must be deeper than that to be able to be in one accord together. And there's a great blessing there to be able to be saying amen to someone's prayers, not just words, but all with the fullness of our hearts, being in total agreement with this other person as they are praying, and then the other as well, so that we come together and we begin to grow in one accord in the one place that we are gathered together. So I wanted to add that to the thoughts on prayer tonight, communal prayer.